Well, now to the small Arizona town of Bisbee. It's known for its artist community and its liberal politics. It's also the name of our favorite dog. But long before it was all of this, Bisbee was a bustling mining town. And in 1917, it was the site of a large-scale kidnapping of striking workers orchestrated by the mining companies of the time. Stina Sieg, from Here and Now contributor KJZZ, takes us to Bisbee. We're on the 100th anniversary of what's called the Bisbee Deportation. Town residents are taking a second look at this infamous chapter in labor history.
The roundup began just after dawn. A posse made up of hastily deputized local residents had a list of striking miners and sympathizers provided by the mining bosses. They banged on doors at boarding houses and homes and interrogated any man on the street.
Where do you work? Are you working? If you're not working, you're coming with us.
Mike Anderson's got the history and the keys. As he opens the gate to the Warren Baseball Park, a few miles south of town.
July 12th, 1917. It was a bad day for this ballpark.
By around 10 a.m., the captives, many Mexican and European, were packed into the stands and spilling out into the field, guns trained on them.
So if the miners had tried to make a break for it, they would have shot them down. If the miners had tried to resist anyway, they probably would have shot them down.
And two men were killed, a miner and a deputy, during the arrests. Anderson says the miners were given a choice. Renounce the three-week strike and their union, or get into manure-caked cattle cars. About 1,200 men chose the cattle cars. 11 hours later, they were dumped in the middle of the desert in New Mexico.
Close to nowhere. It's between nowhere and nothing.
Never come back to Bisbee, they were told. Most never did.
There was just enormous paranoia because of the war, and the mining companies took advantage of it.
That's author Jane Little-Botkin, who says those mining companies stood to make a lot of money from World War I. A strike was going to get in the way. The mine bosses also owned the newspapers and were able to paint the miners and labor organizers as socialists and foreigners.
You had the publicity machine going, and so people are acting what they think is the best interest for their country.
And that's how you convince about 2,000 men to exile their neighbors, and in at least one case, a brother.
I hadn't realized until today that he had no choice but to go forward.
Bisbee native Sue Ray is talking about her grandfather, Edward Leslie Cook, who arrested his brother, Archie Cook. Ray just learned that when her grandpa was deputized, he was told that if he did not go along with the deportation, he'd be forced onto that train too. And he had many mouths to feed.
Grandpa did his part. He had to go home, and he had to live with that the rest of his years.
The brothers never saw each other again. They're now buried just a few plots away from each other in Bisbee Cemetery. Ray says the rift, like the deportation in general, was just not talked about.
No discussion. You didn't bring it up. And the same went within the households of the community.
But now, 100 years later, people are talking. Everyone in this story has been or will be involved in commemorative events, discussions, an art exhibit, even a documentary film with reenactments featuring Ray's sons playing her grandfather and great uncle. And tonight there will be an open stage for community members to talk about or sing about their town's long hidden history. Mike Anderson will be there. For him, this day represents a huge change in Bisbee and in himself. Long before he lived here, he was a social studies teacher with a totally different take on the deportation.
I'm fairly well educated about Arizona history, and I always thought that these deportees were wild men and radicals.
And what Anderson found was these were just men, on both sides, ordinary men, swept up in an extraordinary event.
It's easy to whip people into a frenzy, to turn them on each other, to single out groups of people who you don't like because they're different, because they speak a different language, because they have a different religion. That's what happened here in Bisbee.
After 2 months in the desert, the deportees moved on. A small percentage even returned to Bisbee, but most went off to live in other mining camps. A presidential commission later found the deportation to be illegal, but no one was ever convicted. Some of the strikers eventually got money from a class action lawsuit, settled out of court. For Here and Now, I'm Stina Sieg in Bisbee, Arizona.